This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Sabbath and good morning, church. It's such an honor to be here today, and I just want to take a moment to thank people, and I would like to start with the pastoral team, Pastor Jen, Pastor McCoy, and Pastor Joe for allowing me to be here today and helping me structure my sermon. I would like to thank my family, my church family, for just being here and supporting me. Thank you. So I'd like to start with a story. And you guys may already know the story. It's called The Tortoise and the Hare. And it starts with the hare bragging about how fast he was and how good he was. And the tortoise was so tired of hearing him that he decided to challenge him to a race. So they start at the starting line. The hare was off on his way, covering miles and miles way ahead of the tortoise. So he decided to take an impromptu nap. But what he did not know was that the tortoise was on his way to the finish line. So when he woke up, he looked around, did not see the tortoise. When he looked ahead of him, he saw the tortoise on his way to the finish line. So he dashed with all his strength, trying to gain all the miles that he had lost. However, it was too late. For the slow and steady tortoise had won, and the fast and furious hare had lost. So, church, we live in a culture where everything is fast-paced. I mean, we click a button and you get your results instantaneously. And most of us are looking for the fastest and quickest way to get things done. But some things require a process that cannot be fast-paced or accelerated. In life, there will be so many aspects, the experiences that we go through, the stages of our lives, and what it brings to us. So if we were to live the life of the fast and furious hare, we would miss it. Let us pray. Lord, as I am standing in front of you, in front of this church, Lord, I ask that the words that come out of my mouth come from you and you alone. In your name I do pray. Amen. So today, I would like to feature a young man by the name of Joseph, and popularly known as Joseph the Dreamer. Joseph was the youngest of his many brothers and the favorite child of Jacob. And he was given a coat of many colors and was treated differently from his brothers. And his brothers were jealous of their father's favoritism towards him, but they got more envious of Joseph's dreams. So please turn to me to Genesis 37, verse 5. Verse 5 says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to the dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to him." And his brother said to him, "So do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. But he didn't stop there, for he had another dream, it says in verse 9, and he told it to his brothers, "Listen, I had another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." And yes, what his brothers and Joseph himself did not know, that he would become very popular in Egypt. But because of the hatreds that were filled in their hearts, they sold Joseph into slavery, and he went to Egypt. So there are points in our lives where everything seems to be going right, at work, at school, and just our daily lives in general. And then something disappointing happens. It could be a flat tire, illness, or even death. That just seems to find its way in. And it is a wake-up call that we have to, that we live in a time where everything, and we have to keep our focus on God. So I want to ask you a question. When do you call on the Lord? When do you call on Him? Do you call on God when everything's all right? Do you thank Him for the little things, the moments that you have in your daily basis? Or do you call on Him when everything is not all right? When you're going through something that's troublesome and gloomy? And we have a tendency to think that living life with everything right in it is the way of living. But I'm sorry to say it is not. Because life was meant to have its ups and downs, its highs and its lows. And if we did not have these ups and downs, we would not be able to grow spiritually, physically, or mentally. So now our story continues with Joseph's brothers wanting Joseph out of their sight. They didn't want to kill him, but that hatred that they had, they sold their brothers to some merchants that were heading to Egypt. And there the captain of the guard, Potiphar, took Joseph as his slave. And as a slave, Joseph would become successful, for he was given the position to be the attendant of Potiphar's house. And the Bible even says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian because of Joseph. Please turn to me to Genesis 39, verse 2. And it starts with, "The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master." Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything that he owned. And from the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of Egypt because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. And I'd like you to remember this story just for later. And I want to emphasize verse 2, where it states that the Lord was with Joseph. He was with Joseph. I mean, he was the favorite of his father, wore a coat of many colors, which made his brothers very resentful toward him. Then he becomes a slave, and with all of this, the Lord was with him. So I'm here today to tell you that the Lord is with you as well. He's within each and every single one of you, and He won't leave you. So you don't have to be worried or to be afraid, because the Lord knows what He's doing, and all we have to do is trust Him. But sadly, our story doesn't end there, because something horrifying happened, which got Joseph thrown into prison because of something he was accused of. And let's just say of not staying in his lane. So again, he was the favorite, then became a slave, then becomes an attendant of Potiphar's house, in charge of his household and everything that he owned. And then he gets himself thrown into prison. So as I'm reading this part of Joseph's journey, I wondered, what was he feeling? Was he frustrated, heartbroken, or just confused? I mean, he was sold to slavery by his own flesh and blood. Just think about it. Your own family selling you because they're resentful towards you. And now, this young boy, ripped from his family, taken into a distant land where the language is different, the food was different, the custom was different, and the gods that they serve were not our God. The God who brought our universe into existence, our Jehovah, the one who scoops us down and to save us, and the one who redeems us. And to make matters worse, He was now a Hebrew slave, not the favorite child anymore, but a slave that may never be able to get a chance to see his father again. This got my attention of how in tune we have to be with God. Joseph trusted God, even though through the devastation and the travesties, he knew that the Lord was with him. And there are many things in our lives that will hit us from all sides. And from experience, I know, because I will start my week and it will be amazing. Nothing's happening, but usually it can be illness or just things in my life in general that will just shift my week. And I had to learn that I had to let it be, because God knows what he's doing and he's with me no matter what. In Psalms 27 verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." He knew everything you would do and be before you were even born, and he knows what's going to happen to you and where you will be. So we doubt ourselves. I know we doubt ourselves constantly, but put ourselves in such deep stress that of something that God already has control over. And here is where I understood that Joseph had to trust God, even though he may have had all the questions in the world. Now our story continues with Joseph, now in prison. So he's walking around to see two men in distress, but I'm only going to talk about one today. And he finds out that both of them had a dream and asks them to interpret their dreams. So in Genesis 40, verse 8, it says, "Then Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream.' So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream, and he said to him, 'In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and in the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed. And I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand.' 'This is what it means,' said Joseph. 'The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to when you were his cup bearer.'" But verse 14 says, "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." But now I want to stop here. The Bible said that Joseph had asked the cupbearer to mention him. But if we skip down a few verses down, it says in Genesis 40, verse 23, that the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So I'll say, okay, so he broke a promise. But I found out that the promise was not kept, but it wasn't fully broken. For Joseph would just have to wait about 2 years for his promise to be fulfilled. And this is why I don't let promises bring me into the waiting place. You know, that useless area that we find ourselves, not going anywhere. We're not doing anything to change our possible outcome, but we're just stuck sitting there, waiting. Like Dr. Seuss mentioned in his book of all the places you will go, and he gives an unusual description of what waiting looks like. He says, "You can get so confused that you'll start in a race, down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace, and grind on for miles across weirdest wild places, and head on, I fear, toward the most useless place, the waiting place, for people just waiting for the train to go, or the bus to come, or the plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or just waiting for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. I mean, everyone is just waiting." But God wants us to be stationed in the waiting place. Okay, Elizabeth, you just said that we shouldn't be in the waiting place. I know. But I wasn't talking about Dr. Seuss' waiting place. I'm talking about God's waiting place. And God has one. And I found four main points in God's waiting place. The first one, taking action through the waiting. For example, illness can be very draining, but if we do not take the necessary steps to help better ourselves, how can we ask God to help us if we're not doing what we need to better ourselves? And there has to be a change that comes within, and it could be a lifestyle change or just a diet change, but there has to be a change for God to give us his blessings. The second point would be getting closer to God spiritually. And it's simple. What we feed our minds on a daily basis, what we watch, what we eat, how we sleep, do we sleep late? All these things that we do on a daily basis will reflect how we behave and what we look like. Number three would be giving your 100%. That's all God asks for. And Joseph gave his 100% in Potiphar's house. I mean, he was a slave. He could have acted like all hope was lost and said, well, there's nothing left for me here to do, so. But he didn't. And it showed granting him the position of an attendant. And lastly, be Jesus to those around you. Joseph was empathetic to the two men in the prison, and he listened to them and helped them even though he was the one that needed help. So there will be times where we're waiting for things that were promised to us, and it feels like it shouldn't take that long. Weeks, months, maybe even years may go by, and all the excuse in the book will be said, but it will happen. And the Lord knows the timing of when the materials we may need or want in life needs to be placed. And we must do our part, our homework as I call it, to allow God to give us his blessings that were promised to us. But we do not need to stress or let it consume our minds to the point that it's taking every part of our brain and has left little to no space for God. And I've had this happen to me, and I know as me personally, I'm a very stressful person, and I feel like I have to be in control of every situation that I have. And I started college in January, and I had a huge problem with one of my classes, chemistry. And it was just so unbearable to see my grades fluctuating, highs and lows, and just waiting for the grades to come in, seeing if I did well, if I did not. And it's the worst thing right now that I've ever experienced. And all I was waiting to see if I had passed. All I needed was just to pass so I did not have to take that class again. But not only did I pass this class, but the Lord gave me a B, in which I tell you I was the most excited in my life over a grade. And that says a lot. So I learned that the details in our lives matters to God. And no matter how little your problems may seem, he will be there for you. And I wish I had called on God during the happy times when I had gotten a good grade. I wish I had said thank you. But I didn't. I let the stress about, oh, let me make sure I'm ready for this. And I did study. I did this. But if I had called on God during the happy times, I felt like I wouldn't be so stressed in the way I was those days. And it amazed me that this is what God was talking about. That in his waiting place, it will be hard, but in the end, we will be rewarded. So now we are in the part of our story where the cupbearer would give his promise. So in the Bible, it says in Genesis 41, verse 8, in the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told him his dream, but no one could interpret them. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captains of the guard. And each of us had a dream that same night, and each dream had a meaning on its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, and a servant of the captains of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought out from the dungeon. Once shaved and he changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, but no one can interpret it. But I heard it is to say of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Joseph the answer, Pharaoh, sorry, the answer he desires. And we all know the story and how it ends. Joseph did tell what the Pharaoh's dream meant, and he decided that Joseph should be the one in charge of the palace and of the people. And Genesis 41, verse 39 states, you are the men for us. God has given you the inside story, and no one is as qualified as you in experience and in wisdom. From now on, you'll be in charge of my affairs, and all the people will report to you. Only as king will I be over for you. Now remember the story of Potiphar that I ask you to remember in the beginning. This is where I learned that this was what God was preparing Joseph all along. If we remember, Joseph had become a slave, then in Potiphar's house, he became an attendant. It's the same thing that happened, but just in a bigger scale. Joseph was then thrown into prison, which is, I feel like it's bigger than being a slave, and then he was given the position to take care of Pharaoh's land and people. And even Pharaoh said, only I will be king over you. And in Potiphar's house, he said, except he was in charge of everything, except the food that he ate. So the Lord was teaching Joseph the necessary steps of being a leader and being in charge of a bigger project of saving Egypt. So all the wrongdoings of his brothers, the wife of Potiphar, the chief cupbearer, were all placed for those specific moments in his life. And throughout Joseph's life, he went through some major ups and downs. But in the end, it concluded with him forgiving his brother, bringing his family to Egypt, saving Egypt from a great famine, and bringing a great generation of Israelites to come. So there will be many obstacles in our lives, but just as Joseph, surely just as slow and steady as a tortoise, he was rewarded profusely. And from one of his devotions, Albert Lee, director of the International Ministry, reminds us that though no one knows how life will unfold, we can decide to trust God and to focus our mind on him. For those who wait on the Lord, the promise is given. Our hearts will be strengthened. So as I am closing, I would like you to reflect on the things that you may want or need in your life right now. How long have you been asking and waiting some more for that certain something? It may need that car that you needed 3 years ago, the scholarship that you worked so tirelessly for, or the cure of the cancer that is holding you captive. But I want us to reason together. Whatever you may need at the moment, has it affected you to the point that you've lost faith? Even though I know you need to change that car, you're looking for that promotion, you're devastated, heartbroken over something that has happened to your life. By God's grace, you're here today and you saw the sunrise. God provided a way for you to go on, even though it's been hard, even though it's been tiring. He found a way for you to go on. He'll continue to do so. and he's listening to your plea. The timing may take a while, but the Lord will always have your back. And we'll always, in our life, will have things to wait for. It could also be waiting for your next step, your purpose in life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And if you feel like the Lord is not listening to you, or you feel alone, like there's no one you can trust, he says, "I will never let you down, never walk off or leave you." Moses had to wait 40 years to receive his purpose in life. Abraham had to wait 25 years on God for his son, the son of a promise. And Jesus had to wait almost 30 years to begin his ministry. He is now preparing a place for you and me so that we can go home to be with him. So when your wish list finally comes to pass, I hope you'll thank God for everything, and you'll even thank him for helping you endure the times when you did not receive or were not able to receive your desires of your heart. So when you're stressing for that test, looking for the job, waiting for the medical results to come back, or the pain just to go away, just give it to God and rest on his promise. And I know it will not be easy, but the Lord says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you and I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." Exodus 14, verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Psalms 37, verse 4, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And Isaiah 43, verse 2, "Do not be afraid. I redeem you. I've called your name. You are mine. And when you are in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you are between a rock and a hard place, it will not be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior." The Lord will take care of everything. It may not be as fast and furious as the hare, but surely, slow and steady, like the tortoise, it will happen. And I promise you, it will be worth the wait. let us pray. Lord, thank you for all you have done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here today, Lord. As we are leaving, let us remember that waiting on you may not be easy, but with you, everything will be all right, Lord. So bless us, keep us safe, Lord. Help us as we may be traveling or staying. Bless us, in your name I do pray. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.